Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, beginning at verse 1. And we'll read a few verses here and then skip over to the next chapter. "Now there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, of the son of Abiel, the son of Zeror, the son of Bechorath, the son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son, whose name was Saul, a choice young man, and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said unto Saul his son, Take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses." Turning to chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath appointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" And jumping down to verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them and shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." And jumping to verse 9, "And it was so, that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence, and Lord, I ask that you open the Word of God to us. Help me to preach what I believe you put before me today, and give understanding to the people. Lord, bless the people, and any troubles that they find themselves in, anything they're burdened with, I ask that you help them. I ask that you speak to them, give them understanding, wisdom, whatever they need, but please help the people. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as many of you probably know, we've been studying out of the book of Exodus. Currently, we're in chapter 17, looking at the Spirit of God and the flesh, the ways of man, the abilities of man, the wisdom of man, what have you. The Spirit and the flesh. And last time, if you were listening, I took the time to take a brief look at the life of Peter, and we saw how God changed him. We saw his frailties, we saw the different areas where he lacked as a believer, as a Christian, what have you. We saw his great denial of the Lord. But then we saw when the Spirit of God came into his life, on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit fell, he was changed. God gave him strength. God gave him ability. God gave him boldness. God gave him the power of God to help him to do the work of God. And when studying the change that came to Peter, my mind automatically goes to an Old Testament character, King Saul. Many times it's taught that King Saul messed up, and that is certainly true. He did mess up. But in my mind, it is hard to find a better description of what happens to a man when he's filled with the Holy Spirit than what's portrayed in the life of Saul. Now, studying Saul, I wish that I could take months on this program to do so. There's an awful lot here, but I simply don't have the time. The story, I suppose, starts in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. Samuel being the great prophet of God. The high priest, Eli, his sons, they didn't follow God, but they were still in ministry. The people said, well, you know, this isn't right. Eli, what are you going to do? I'm sure Samuel said, Eli, you know, this isn't right. What are you going to do? And the people, they decided, well, we're tired of this. We want a king. Surely a king's better than these two perverted sons. It says they took bribes and what have you. But God spoke to Samuel and said, don't worry about it. They haven't rejected your leadership, the people, I mean, but they're rejecting me, the fountain of living waters. And too often, I believe, we see the same problems in the church today. God has His church. Jesus is the head of His church. But too often He's the figurehead. He really doesn't have very much of a place in most churches, I believe, and sad to say, in this country. He's talked about, He's preached about, His word is read from, but how often do we actually seek His leadership? How often do we actually say, Lord, we have this idea, we have this program, we have this need, would have you. And we think we can do it this way, we think we've got a solution for that. But Lord, not our way, but yours. Lord, we think we have it. We think we have a solution, but we're ready to lay it aside and do what you say. Lord, please speak to us. Sadly, most churches, they say, well, let's pray, let's have a meeting, and then they go ahead and do what they want. Brother Kelly, that's offensive to me. Well, I'm sorry, but God called me to preach the truth. And Paul said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We should look to the Lord and not to our own abilities. We should look to God's ways and not our ways. We should keep our eye on the Ark of the Covenant, which is Christ. And God will help us as we go to battle. But we see in chapter 9, Saul, he's looking for his father's lost asses, donkeys, whatever term you want to use. We see him wandering around. We see him not quite knowing what to do. And matter of fact, it says he went all over the countryside, miles and miles and miles, looking for a couple of donkeys or what have you. They managed to find their way to the prophet, to the man of God, thinking somehow that the man of God would be able to help them find the lost donkeys. But God had something else in mind. God said, I'm going to take this man and make him a king. Now, outwardly, he was of good stock. He was from the best part of town, perhaps. His father was respected, a mighty man of power, it said. And he, Saul, was very tall, very fair to look upon, very handsome, perhaps, and tall, maybe 7 feet tall or 6.5 feet tall, something like that. He stood out. If we were looking for a king or a president, perhaps, today we would find the one that's attractive. We would find the one that stands out, that knows how to speak, what have you. But God says, I'm interested in the heart. And again, if you go back to chapter 8, we see that that's the problem. God had his people Israel, but Israel, their heart was wrong. Their heart was not in the right place. But Saul, by appearances, would make a good king. Man looks on the outward part, but God looks on the heart. But we see him wandering around. We see him not quite knowing what to do. And God chooses this man, Saul, and puts his anointing upon him. And you say, what's anointing? Well, we hear the word anointing many times referenced here and there. We hear the word used quite often. The word anointing is the same word that we have for ointment. If you get stung by a bee or something or sunburned, you want to take some ointment and smear it on the affected area. The word from the Greek and from the Hebrew means to smear on. The word Messiah, we say that Jesus is the Messiah. In Hebrew, it means the one that is smeared by the Holy Spirit. In Greek, we have the word Jesus Christ. The word Christ, again, means to smear on, the one that is smeared. Creo being to smear on by the Spirit, and Christ, the one that is smeared. So when we say the Messiah, or when we say Jesus Christ, we really mean the one that is filled with the Spirit, anointed with the Spirit. And certainly if you look through the book of Luke, you can see the power of the Spirit that rested upon Christ. If you read the book of Acts, you can see the power of the Spirit that rested upon the disciples, the apostles, what have you. You can look at the power of God in the lives of many people throughout the Old Testament and the New. For instance, Samson was a very strong man, was an incredibly strong man, and he got his strength from God. You look at Samuel here, the prophet of God. He got his understanding from God. You look at King David. He had his ability to lead the people by the Spirit of God. But again, we're talking today about the change that comes to a man or to a woman. God is no respecter of persons. When that person is filled with the Spirit. And again, it's one thing to be filled with the Spirit. It's one thing to be anointed by the Spirit. But critical to the life of a believer is that his heart is right with God. That was Israel's trouble, and if we took the time to study, that's Saul's trouble. That's how he ended up losing his kingdom after only 2 years. His heart turned away from God. His heart was not right. He didn't trust in God's ways. He didn't wait for Samuel the prophet. He didn't follow the prophet's instructions. He did things his own way. But the change that comes in a man's heart and life when he's filled with the Spirit. It says here in chapter 10, verse 1, then Samuel took a vial of oil, which we just talked about, just to smear on. That's what Messiah or Christ means. Smeared on with oil, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him. This anointing, it had to do with being empowered for service. In this case, Saul was going to be king. When we are anointed by the Spirit of God, it's supposed to be that we would do the work of God, that we would work in His vineyard. Again, a verse I use quite often, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We have a great commission, working with Christ to win the lost. He died to save them. It's our job to tell that He died to save them. A co-mission. We're co-laborers with Christ. And sadly, too often we forget that commission. We misuse the power of God. We misuse the abilities, the blessings, the gifts, what have you, when we should be out winning souls. That's why the Spirit of God was given, that we would be witnesses of Christ. But going back to 1 Samuel chapter 10, in verse 6, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee." And Samuel is prophesying to Saul. "And thou shalt prophesy with them," the other prophets, "and shalt be turned into another man." And shalt be turned into another man. There's a change that comes. We saw it in the life of Peter. There's a change that comes to the life of a Christian as he turns to God and yields himself and allows the Spirit of God to work through him. And we should seek the infilling of the Spirit. We should seek the help of the Spirit. We should depend upon God to do the work through us. The work of saving souls, the work of pastoring, the work of witnessing, the work of praying for the sick or visiting the shut-in. All of the Christian things that we do, we should depend upon God to help us, to rely upon His Spirit to help us. But it says of Saul, "And thou shalt be turned into another man." There is a mighty change that comes when you're filled with the Spirit. There's a great change. Your desires are going to be for the Lord. Your faith will increase. Your understanding of the Word will increase. I could go on and on and on, but there is a change that happens when you're filled with the Spirit. And in verse 7 it says, "And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee." And this is an Old Testament idea, that God is with someone, that God is on their side, that God is empowering that person to do some work for God. And again, when Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it upon his head and prophesied to him, this is a commissioning. This idea we see throughout the Old and New Testaments, to pray for someone, to lay hands upon them. Many times when a minister is ordained, those other ministers, the elders would have you, they'll pray for him and lay hands upon him and ask God to bless him and send him out into ministry. But it says that Saul should do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. God sends us out into the world, Jesus said, as lambs among wolves. And we're to do the work of winning souls. And if we find a door open, perhaps to minister in a nursing home, or perhaps to go down to Bourbon Street and witness or something, or maybe you're asked to teach a Sunday school class or something, if your heart is right with God and if you're yielded to Him and rely upon His Spirit, then go ahead and do that thing, for God is with you. Do as occasion serve thee. And looking at verse 9 that we had read earlier, "And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Thou shalt be turned into another man." And God gave him another heart. And by a miracle from God, Saul went from wandering around the countryside looking for a couple of lost barnyard animals to being able to lead the nation of Israel as king. We find in the very next chapter, in chapter 11, he is tested and wins a battle when Nahash the Ammonite came up. If you read this chapter in verse 2, it's very graphic, the threats that Nahash, an Ammonite, made against the people of Jabesh-Gilead. We see Saul hearing about the event, asking why the people were weeping. He had compassion upon them. Then he quickly raised an army, and he went to battle and defeated Nahash. Again, when the power of God came upon him, he was turned into another man. God gave him another heart, and he was able to lead in battle and also politically and what have you in the government. Now, there were problems in Saul's leadership. There were problems in his life. There was a problem in his heart. Like I said, he didn't trust in the Lord. He didn't rely upon the Lord. He didn't wait for the prophet before offering a sacrifice. He made various mistakes. He was presumptuous and what have you. And he lost his kingdom. God took his spirit away. And instead, God called David, a man after God's own heart. And David, the sweet singer of Israel, was able to lead. David also had his troubles. David got Bathsheba pregnant, and when he figured out, oh no, I've got a kid now, he had her husband killed. King David was an adulterer and a murderer, and he suffered greatly for it. Later on, he numbered Israel, it says. He took a census. And we take a census here in America every 10 years. And that's not a bad thing. And some would ask, well, why was David punished for taking a census? He wasn't necessarily counting women and children. He was counting those that were able to pick up a sword or a spear and fight in the army. He was not depending upon God for strength. He was depending upon how many soldiers he had, if he had chariots or something. He was depending in his own abilities and the abilities of the people. Instead of looking to the Lord for strength in battle, he was looking to his own abilities and the kingdom of Israel. But the difference between Saul and David was the heart. And like I said, in my mind, there's no greater description of the change that will come when one is filled with the Spirit. But as great as the infilling of the Spirit is, your heart must be right. You must be yielded to the Lord. You must depend upon the Lord. You must stick closely to His Word. You must wait on Him for direction, instead of saying, well, I'll just run out and do things myself. The power of God is available to the Christian, to the preacher, to the missionary, to the Sunday school teacher, what have you. But we must depend upon God. We must have our heart right. We can rely upon the Spirit, or we can forsake the Spirit and work in the flesh.
Once I stumbled in the darkness, doing only as I pleased, but I wasn't really happy, and my heart was not at ease. I just didn't have the willingness to follow His commands, till I laid my heart to give you one. If you
you've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.